your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Health Forum with Ruth Sackman. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. In the next hour, Ruth and her guests guide you through the maze of health information and misinformation out there. So pull up a chair. Here's your host, Ruth Sackman.
Well, welcome to our show. This is Health Forum, and today we're going to discuss pesticides versus organic. But first, let me introduce you to my co-host, Consuelo Reyes.
Hello, and welcome to our second edition of Health Forum. On here because about 18 years ago, I was lucky enough to find this organization, FACT, and I've been here ever since, working with Ruth in the New York City headquarters and more recently on the Board of Trustees. I'm here all these years because I truly don't think there's another resource quite like it with the kind of understanding, integrity, and sheer good common sense that you find at FACT. So I'm delighted to be part of the program and looking forward to sharing all this with our listeners.
All right, Hugh, let's go into the program. When we decided to do this, we felt that you couldn't have a health program without discussing the quality of the food we're getting and the pesticides that are put into that food. Now, we use the word pesticides, although it includes many things. At one time, people would say, well, there are things that go into the farming, some things into the processing, there's coloring, there's preservatives, hormones, all sorts of things. Well, today in our field, we're lumping them all together and we're calling them pesticides. Now, you have to understand that these things are not harmless, that the FDA will admit that they're toxic. As a matter of fact, I called the FDA quite some time ago thinking about doing something about along these lines, which is very hard. They're committed to what they're doing. Spoke to a woman there, and I said, well, you know, these things can build up in the body and cause trouble in the future. And she said to me, yes, but it's so little, it would take 100 years. Didn't deny that there was harm in it, but that there's so little put in there that it would take 100 years. I said to her, but what if people are using 10 items with the same pesticide in it? What happens then? Would it cut it down to 10 years? Before they get into trouble? It's really a pity that those things are put in our food supply because I think they're causing a lot of difficulty, and it's hard to pinpoint specifically the kind of difficulty it's causing and to attribute it to the pesticide. But if we think they're harmful, we can take steps to protect ourselves. There's one item that bothers me more than most of the others, in spite of the fact that coloring can produce trouble. And we used to know the hormones in the meat and the growth factors can affect young girls. They go into puberty too early. But there's one thing that disturbs me more than everything, and that are the pesticides that mimic estrogen. I think it's playing havoc with all the reproductive processes for human beings. We are finding, and there's an admission already, that pesticides are reducing male sperm count. And everybody's trying to become pregnant and having to go to all these centers to see what can be done to help. When the pesticides are responsible. Now, we think it's affecting women as well, and that when they can't conceive, it's playing havoc with the whole reproductive process. And there's one place where I think we need to take steps. One ought to keep a check on the hormone balance, and balance would be the balance between progesterone and estrogen. If those items are out of balance, there's a tendency that it will affect the endocrine system, or another term for these pesticides is they call them endocrine disruptors. One should examine the thyroid, and this I think is becoming much more common in our population, that thyroid imbalance on the side of low thyroid, or what they call hypothyroidism, and even though it's within the normal range, it's not quite as adequate as it ought to be. Now, one of the things that the thyroid does is metabolize calcium. And everybody all over the place is looking to find out if the calcium level is all right. Taking bone density tests. And if you take calcium that is recommended for you, or even promoted on the media or advertised somewhere, if your thyroid isn't working, it isn't going to matter where you get your calcium from. It's still not going to be metabolized. And sometimes what the body does in its desperation, because it needs the calcium, will produce bone, but it's very poor quality bone. So these are the problems with the pesticides. And I think you might feel as troubled as I feel. Someone ought to examine, our congressional people ought to look into and see if it is causing harm on a national basis, that if people are actually getting into health trouble because of all those pesticides, instead of allowing it to run free as it does. Now, your congressman who represents you isn't going to do anything until he knows what you want. And if they know enough people in the community are disturbed by something, he'll look into it for you. And that's where you ought to go if this kind of thing bothers you. Now, as we said, it's pesticides versus organics. The organic area, there are so many people, especially the cancer patients that I work with a great deal, they must remove those pesticides from their diet because it's going to hamper their recovery. And when they look for organic food today, it's become extremely hard. Let me explain what the organic is. In other words, they can't use these pesticides, inorganic material, poisons, coloring. They can't use anything for cosmetic purposes in the food supply. It has to come to the individual buying it pure. Now, that's what organic meant a number of years ago, but unfortunately, recently, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in order to serve the food-producing companies like Kraft Food and others like that, it made some allowances for them to call their products organic. If all they put in there was 5% inorganic material. In other words, we could say 5% pesticides in there. But people who are on cancer programs, they don't want any pesticides. So there was an agreement with the U.S. Department of Agriculture that the items that were pure would be labeled 100% organic. There's some difficulty these days in finding 100% organic, but if that's what you would be interested in order to get away from the toxic pesticides, when you shop in your stores, in your health food stores, or you see labels, make sure you check it out with the producer or the health food store owner and try to be absolutely sure that it's organic.
Unfortunately, it's so hard to find that 100% organic.
That's right.
You might mention it to your store manager. Why isn't there more labeled that way?
Well, if people ask for it and if they avoid buying what isn't what they want, You'd be surprised. The people are in there to do business. They want to collect the money, and they will respond to what the consumer is looking for. But the consumer must know what they want. I say, if you notify your congressperson, he needs to know what you're looking for, what bothers you, what disturbs you. And then he'll do something about it. That's his role, is to serve you. The reason there aren't many things labeled 100% organic is because today the people who want to use that label have to go to the USDA, which is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and produce a lot of papers, pay a fee. It becomes a costly and tedious job to do that. So actually, the USDA has interfered in an area that was functioning for years beautifully. And I'll tell you why it happened. At one time, these health food stores were in out-of-the-way places where the rent was cheap, and the people went there and they bought what they wanted to, and the prices were moderate. They didn't try to gouge. What you have today, as this concept has gone mainstream and people are trying to get away from the inorganic material or the pesticide-ridden material, is what they're doing, is what has happened, is this has become a $22 billion industry. And the fellows want to get in on the act. But we have to do whatever we can to shift the direction. What we're doing today is we're in touch with other organizations that are as concerned as we are about getting healthy food. And we're searching for a new term, and we'll just let the organic term go and try to re-educate the public to use some other term that we understand that food is actually as pure as it ought to be and the way you would like it. I've thought of a few. If some of you think of anything and you want to call in, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. But I thought maybe biofood. I'm going to continue. The music is starting, which means that the next segment is going to... we're going to have a brief break until the next segment. And we'll come back and we'll complete what we're talking after the break.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org. Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, I think we're back on the air, hopefully. We're getting used to this system, and you'll have to bear with us.
Should we mention first that we will be taking calls on the half hour this time? And I believe they gave the call-in number, but maybe I'll give it again. It's also on your screen if you're listening on the Health and Wellness website. It's 1-866-369-3742. 1-866-369-3742.
All right. Before we get back to our topic, I'd like to say something. There was supposed to be a commercial for a book that I've written. It's called Rethinking Cancer. I think I ought to mention it because for some people out there it might be very important. The book is $16.95. It can be ordered from FACT. And you have the telephone number, which was given during the commercial break. I'll give it to you again. It's 212-741-2790. Now, I don't get the profit from that book. It goes to the organization because it was worked on their time. And we needed something of that kind to help people understand the complicated process of changing from a conventional type of program into something which is really producing a full bio repair. I just thought I'd let you know about that. Now, we were talking about pesticides versus organic. And now Consuelo, who's my co-host, reminded me that many people look to go to the local areas, the local farms nearby, or wherever they bring their products into the area in which you're buying. And those things, although they're not labeled organic, the farmer will tell you what he's doing, and you can pick up a great deal of organic material. But outside of that, you've got to trust your health food store owner and be somewhat of a detective these days. But we hope we're going to correct that system by joining with other like-minded organizations and see if we can't find another word. I don't know, did I mention the words that I thought of? I thought of maybe something like biofood or bioproducts, which might make people aware that it's going to be body-oriented, sound for the body. But let's see, maybe some of you have some ideas out there, and there are enough of you to think of more than I can think of on my own. I want to get back to the pesticides. They're putting so many things, those pesticides and those, let's call them chemicals, by the way. You may want, this is digressing a little from the main topic, but even the drugs that they use today are no longer absolutely safe. And if you listen to some of the commercials for the drugs, they say, well, tell your doctor this and that, but don't take it unless if you've got a headache or you've got a liver problem or this or that, That's how potent they are, and they can produce a great deal of difficulty. And it's the same type of thing, using chemicals instead of natural things. Now, years ago, let's say, I could go back to World War II. This is when this chemical explosion started to take place, both in the food and in the drugs. But we could go back to using herbs, which is more like a food to help affect some sort of internal repair without doing harm. In England, they still have herbal colleges, and it's not unusual for them to be on herbal programs instead of using conventional medicine with the built-in complications. If you ever look through a physician's desk reference, you could find that nearly all of those things have adverse reactions, and some of them are so serious that if you don't know how to take it or you violate the rules, they can actually cause death. But it would be nice to get back to herbal remedies. And some of them are so simple and available in nearly every community. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was reminding me that I had helped him a number of years ago when he called to say that he had something wrong with his shoulder. He couldn't move it. There was a problem there. And we talked it over to decide what lifestyle he had to determine what it might have come from. And I said to him, that might come from repetitive motion syndrome. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Some people, when it happens in the wrist, they call it carpal tunnel syndrome. But he had it in the shoulder because the job that he was doing, he was constantly using that arm. And he was causing that repetitive motion syndrome. So I said to him, well, you might want to try something like vitamin B6. That usually it helps carpal tunnel syndrome. It may help your shoulder. It's the same thing. And he reminded me that he did do that, and it did help, and it never came back again. And now whenever he comes across any of his friends with a similar problem, he suggests that to them. And this is the kind of thing that can happen with herbs. That happens to be a vitamin, but that's in a category of natural healing. Even vitamins can be linked to herbs because they do come from the ground originally. I wasn't prepared for the to talk about the herbs. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take up that topic again as a program.
Yeah.
And bring you agree, Katsura?
Yeah, I think it's not there.
We could be better prepared with some of the ailments that people have that they can treat with herbal remedies, and they're safe. You can only use, there are some, I might have to, there has to be a caveat though then when we use herbs. There are herbs that are medicinal herbs. You have to separate those from the herbs that are not medicinal and don't cause harm. We can't just assume, which some people do who have gone into herbal remedies, as though they say, well, it's an herb, and it automatically spells out safety. It does not. Not everything coming out of the ground is non-toxic. There are some things that grow from the ground that can be so poisonous it can kill quickly. So you have to know what you're doing with the herbs unless you're using what we would call non-medicinal herbs. And I would not want to be the person even to tell anyone to take a medicinal herb because that would be going into medical practice. But there are non-medicinal herbs that anyone can take that and they're guaranteed, actually, if you stay within that category, not to do harm. That's the whole point, is to do no harm. And even when you're taking your food supply, looking out to try to avoid the pesticides, the yardstick has to be do no harm. What we're finding, again, there's something I forgot to say in the beginning about the pesticides. They're finding that infants just born will have some of those chemicals in their bloodstream coming from their parents. What we're afraid of is that as the generations move from one to another, from the time of World War I, that possibly people are more contaminated, the next generation is even more contaminated, and they're passing some of the problems on to their offspring. There was a big article in the New York Times, and I think wherever you are, you're familiar with the New York Times, their magazine section, in which it attributed autism to some of those chemicals. And that the diagnosis of autism was becoming more prevalent today than it had been. Consuelo, I don't want to go on and forget to have you tell them a little about Theo Colburn's book, which you read and did the review of. Could you do that?
Oh, well, just a bit. This was written, I believe, about 8 or so years ago. The preface was written by Al Gore, a book called Our Stolen Future by Theo Colburn, who was someone who, at the age of 55, got her degree in zoology and started looking at all these problems that were occurring in animals with their not having clear gender behavior, females not sitting on the nest, and double bills and very strange things that were happening around polluted areas, it turned out. And anyway, she brilliantly looked at all data from around the world and came to the conclusion that there is something with pesticides that seems to be affecting the endocrine system, which is hormonal development. And that followed from that the idea that humans are probably not immune to this, because we are seeing fertility problems and other things coming, showing up.
Right. Consuelo, keep a minute to give them the number to call in, because we're going toward the call-in segment.
I think we are. The music hasn't started.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that book was a real breakthrough, and they were going to have congressional hearings, but I don't think it ever did materialize. So I think that's the music. Let me just remind people that we're going to have call-ins in the next half hour, so I'll give the number again. It's 1-866-369-3742. 866-369-3742. We'll be back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common-sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must-reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to Cancer Forum, FACT's quarterly magazine, FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org. Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you ready?
I think we're back.
All right. Is Jim there?
We have a caller named Jim.
Ruth?
Hello.
Hi, Ruth. How are you?
Oh, fine. It's nice to hear from you.
It's great hearing from you. I really love your book. I've been a big fan of your writing for the last year, and even more so, and your book is just wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question regarding pesticides. I noticed some news in the European Union that the European Union is trying to pass laws to make food producers list the chemicals that they use in the production of making the foods that they produce, not just the ingredients, like not just listing pesticides that they use in the ingredients. And I guess my question is do you think, you know, these labels would help at all, just the common consumer? And is there anything being done here in this country to try and force food producers to list what chemicals they use?
Well, let me tell you what the system is. These producers, all they have to do is send to the Food and Drug Administration what they're doing. And if it fits a standard, if they're all doing the same thing, if it fits a standard, they don't have to list those items on the label. In other words, if you're buying pure mayonnaise, it can have additional things in there, but it does not have to be listed on the label. The only thing they put on the label is what they're using outside of the standard. Now, at one time years ago, and you, at my age, I remember years ago, everything had to be put on the label. But then, of course, agencies, instead of playing the role that they were set up to play, and that is to work in the consumer interest or protect the consumer, what they do is begin to bend a little and
okay.
take advantage of the consumer and lean toward the producer. And so this is why they set up that arrangement finally, so we don't know what's in those foods, even though they're called pure foods. Does that answer
okay.
your question?
It really does.
Now, you know, let me add something. In Puerto Rico, they found that the children, little girls, using some a doctor there, it could have happened here in the United States or anywhere, that the little girls were going into puberty much too early, and they attribute it to the hormones that were given to the beef. Now, I understand Canada, and I don't know if it still is the same there today. I don't like to step out of a thing that I'm absolutely sure of, that some of these countries wouldn't allow our beef to be imported.
Oh, yes. Japan, I believe, has refused, too.
Yeah. So
wow.
That gives you a picture of what's happening out there, that other countries are really more careful than we are, and yet the impression is always left that we've got agencies here that take care of things for us. I think we need to take care of things for ourselves and not depend upon the agencies. And unfortunately, when agencies do exist, people feel that they're being protected, and that makes them even more vulnerable.
I think there's also a problem not beyond the chemicals, that genetically engineered foods
don't have to be labeled.
Yeah.
We need to discuss that at a later, it needs a full program to discuss genetic engineering, another way of tampering with the food supply.
And unfortunately, the FDA has said that they don't think it needs to be labeled because they don't want to recognize that it's any different.
Well, they'd rather not label anything that would discourage the consumer, which is the exact opposite of what they ought to be doing. That's why I think possibly there ought to be some sort of meeting down in Washington to investigate all of this and to see if the consumer is actually being protected.
By our consumer agencies that were established to protect the consumer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you still there, Jim?
I am still here.
Did it answer your question?
You did answer my question once again. I really appreciate your time, and I love your show. I'm really glad you're on the air. And I absolutely live by your book. I think it's a great book for anyone, and I think everyone.
It's good for anyone, not even the cancer patient, don't you think?
I definitely think it's a good foundational book on health in general.
Yeah, in other words, it can be used to protect against some of the degenerative diseases.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
All right. We should have unhooked that phone, but we didn't. It'll be all right. We can tolerate it. All right. It's on an answering machine. All right, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your show. Bye.
Bye. All right. What was it we were going to take up that we had?
Fish.
What is it?
A fish.
Are you talking outside of the phone?
I think you were talking to me. I'm sorry. That about the fish?
Oh.
The ocean, yeah.
I hesitate talking about this because we don't want... I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about not fish in the ocean, but farm-raised fish. I just want to give you a little example of farm-raised fish, and if we're in the health area and we're trying to help people to avoid ailments or getting sick, we've got to cover territory of this kind. Now, there's a lot of salmon around. Nearly all of it is farm-raised, except when they say wild salmon. Now, in the farm-raised fish, what they do is they feed them little pellets of food that are supposed to be what they ought to be eating. But what happens with that food, instead of the salmon being salmon-colored, which is sort of reddish, it's not even pink. It's sort of just below the pink look and not quite white. And so what the farmers, farmers who are raising the salmon, what they do is they add coloring in many instances to give it the salmon color. So when you buy it, you don't know the difference. And it's hard to... know the difference in taste because, very often there are sauces to go with it and the seasoning that one would use, so one wouldn't know the difference between farm-raised salmon necessarily and wild salmon, but there's a difference in the health value.
We have a caller, Doris.
There's another caller.
Doris, calling.
Oh, hello.
This is Doris.
You're on the air.
I'm on. I want to tell you that I'm so grateful that I've been with FACT all these years. And I just want you to tell you, you're a wonderful organization.
Well, thank you. You've been a member of FACT?
I've been in for 30 years.
What's your name?
What's that?
What's your name?
Doris Sokosh.
Oh, Doris Sokosh. Doris, I need to introduce you to the audience.
All right.
Do you mind?
No, I don't mind at all.
Doris is a recovered cancer patient, and as she said, her diagnosis was over 30 years ago. She had had about 6 surgeries, you correct me if I'm wrong, Doris, and was bedridden. And how much did you weigh when you first called?
What was the answer? What was the question?
How much did you weigh? I know you were down in the 70s, I think. Am I correct?
I was 175 pounds. I was 75 pounds. I'm sorry.
75
pounds.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And here you are,
yeah,
earning your own living.
And yes, certainly am.
Yeah, working
and
pretty hard.
Working very hard and doing the best I can and keeping in touch with FACT. I think it's a wonderful organization. I don't know what I would have done without you, Mrs. Sackman.
Oh, I'm so glad we were there for you.
I know you always said that it's not you, it's us. We have to be the workers.
Yes.
And agreeable.
All
you
right,
guided us.
We need to tell the audience that your recovery took place because you changed your lifestyle.
Right.
You had to change your whole dietary regimen so that your whatever you ate could turn into good quality,
right,
healthy cells. Because without fixing that area, you would be a permanent cancer patient, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Doris, you know what I'd like,
what?
If you don't mind,
yeah,
that instead of discussing your case history today in length, that maybe you'll come in on as a guest. How do you feel about that?
I don't mind.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
No, I don't mind.
And we can discuss what you did from A to Z, and it might help people. And it's not necessarily the same program for the cancer patient that's different from what any other person can use.
You know, I always told cancer patients, one thing I kept doing was kept busy. When I was able to, and knowing what was going on, I did knitting and crocheted. I did things to keep my mind busy.
Yeah.
To keep
I think
myself.
We're winding down on this segment.
All right, Doris, then we'll make arrangements with you to come in as a guest for one of the segments. Will that, and you agree?
Very good. Let
all
me
right,
know in
wonderful.
Time, though. Let me
all
know
right,
enough time.
We'll be right back after a short break.
Okay, thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665, That's 877-900-2665.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org. Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
That's our cue, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, we're back. I don't think there's a caller waiting, though, so we can discuss other things. Do you want to continue, or did you feel you finished talking about the book by Theo Colborn?
Well,
I know I interrupted you because
there's so much in there, and it's fascinating, just fascinating. But I think she was really the first one who put it all together that the pesticides were having this effect on the endocrine system, which a hormonal system of animals, and it seems to be turning up in humans. Studies about hyperactivity in children and things, there's a tremendous relation about exposure to pesticides in the womb before they're born. So I would recommend reading the book, but it's an excellent information to use when you do talk to your congresspeople about the need to investigate further what they are putting in our foods.
Consuela, was it she who wrote about frogs being born with more than four legs,
things like that, extra birds
and
with extra
crocodiles were not reproducing.
That's right.
Down in the Everglades.
In the Okeechobee River, which is extremely polluted from all the farm pesticides that drained into that, many animals were being born sterile.
Yeah.
The typical traits of male, they weren't doing typical things like protecting their young, and just things like that were very strange.
Yeah. You know, a thought just occurred to me that we were talking a little bit about drugs, and I'd like to continue some of the discussion there, because I don't think we realize how dangerous those drugs are, that they should be used as crisis medicine. I think it's all right to have them around, but I think they're the doctor has an obligation when a patient goes into his office to do something about the complaint. And I think it's up to the patient to be aware of the fact that those drugs are not something that you want to take unless you need them, because they're causing all kinds of health problems that develop from the side effects or the adverse reactions. I think we take our drugs too readily. It's as though, well, I've got a headache. Oh, well, I'm going to take something like Aleve. And especially thinking about comes to mind is Tylenol. Tylenol taken with liquor can cause liver damage. There was an ad in the New York Times, a full page ad in the Sunday section of the New York Times by a man who took Tylenol and some wine and thought the wine was innocent, you know, thinking liquor was something else. And this was when Tylenol didn't know of the harm, and it caused enough liver damage for him to have a liver transplant. And when he sued Tylenol, he got himself some sort of six-figure, whatever you call it, you know, the court gives you. And he took out of his own money, he decided to do this full-page ad, you know, that's quite expensive in the New York Times, to warn other people that you don't take those drugs as casually as people have been doing. And I think even the Tylenol company, Johnson & Johnson, has tried to warn against taking Tylenol too excessively, that there's a limit to what you take. But some of these things, if they can get to the point of causing liver damage, you can imagine what kind of harm there is in them. But we should be somewhat more cautious. We don't have to take medicine for every sniffle. If we go to the doctor, he has an obligation to give you something to treat you. You can ask him what you ought to do. You can get your prescription and then ask him if you can wait. And he'll tell you you're going to get a straightforward answer. But you cannot put the doctor in a position where he's vulnerable to a malpractice suit, because it's too common today and the awards are too high, which means that most of the time he's working for the insurance company. The $1 million awards are not unusual. I needed to say that about Tylenol. We've got to educate ourselves as patients. We must educate ourselves as to how to conduct ourselves, know what we can take and what we can't take. I was thinking about a situation where someone was given Coumadin because their ankles were swollen. But what the doctor didn't know and didn't investigate was the fact that that patient was an ulcer patient.
Coumadin is a blood thinner.
Oh, glad you said that. As
very
a blood thinner, what would happen here, if the ulcer started to bleed, it would be nearly impossible to stop the bleeding. Now, that was stopped because the patient knew that the Coumadin was incorrect at that time. If the doctor wasn't angry, he felt, well, fine, you know, we need to work together. And I think that's what we have to develop, is a kind of partnership between patient and doctor, instead of putting all the burden on the doctor, and then he is overly careful, and he feels he has to prescribe medication. And if there was a better understanding between the two people working together, I think it would be both in the patient's interest and in the doctor's interest. And in the long run, it seems to be that that's the wiser way to conduct our health affairs. What do you think?
We've heard many doctors say, you know, that they really didn't need to prescribe anything, but they felt the patient would be disappointed.
Yeah.
If they didn't come back with a prescription.
You know, come to think of it, I can remember one doctor, a patient had been taking quite a lot of medicines, five or six at a time. And she wanted a nutritional program. And I said, well, if you do that, we don't know what's going to happen with the medicine, whether that's going to flow into the bloodstream and cause harm. And so I spoke to the doctor about it. And what he said to me about that patient, he said, she's a walking medicine bag. He said, and you can't stop her. If I don't serve her, she's going to go somewhere else to get some more medicine. So you see, the complication is difficult with patients who don't understand the nature of what they're doing. They think all medicine is safe, all medicine is going to produce dramatic results, and it isn't like that at all. It's there to serve a purpose, discontinued, taken carefully and under the supervision of the doctor, and you do it his way, and you don't discontinue until he tells you it's time to discontinue. Consuelo, do they give our phone number again before this program is over? Because I felt I wanted to do it before we ended the program.
The call-in number?
Our
phone number,
number,
yes, for the office number.
Right.
Sure, let's give it again.
All right. The office number, and you can call between 10 and 4 East Coast time. The office number is 212-741-2790, and we'll be ready to help you in any way we possibly can.
Yeah, I think it's important to emphasize that at best, what the drugs are doing are dealing with symptoms, blocking symptoms.
Only symptoms.
Unfortunately, there's no healing properties in a drug or something that corrects the reason.
Or in most drugs.
Right.
For instance, when you take a drug for a headache, it will reduce the symptom. It suppresses that symptom, but it doesn't do anything to look for the cause, to try to clear that out so it doesn't continue to happen. Some people think that when you're prone to headaches, you're just going to be that kind of individual to get headaches. But we have found with natural healers, and I know many of them, and we've gotten to know many of them over the years, that what they usually do is detoxify. Now, that means take out of the body any of the pollution that's causing the headache. We're going to have a program, and I don't think it'll be soon, but in the near future, on detoxification. It's probably a companion to
nutrition.
Yes.
It's the other side of the coin, really.
It is, yeah. They go together. What do they say? Things go
like
together.
Like a horse and buggy or something.
Okay. There's the music again. I think that's the end of the program. I hope we'll see you again next Wednesday.
Same time at
1 o'clock.
And Pacific time.
East Coast. Oh, 10 o'clock Pacific time. Thank you for listening. Listen
to the show. You can tell others who didn't get a chance to hear that it is available on the site in the archives.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you for listening to Health Forum. To contact Ruth about the show, visit fact-ltd.org or call 212-741-2790. That's 212-741-2790. Tune in next Wednesday for another hour of Health Forum with Ruth Sackman.